We live in a universe that is alive with stars. Our own galaxy, the Milky Way, has 400 billion stars or suns. There are at least 100 billion solar systems just in the Milky Way. And there are billions of galaxies like ours. The Earth is like a tiny grain of sand on a huge celestial beach. And this isn't the only beach. Why would there only be life on Earth? MC Castepol presents.
Hola amigos. Soy Sixto Paz.
Hi my friends. I'm Sixto Paz Wells. I was born December 12, 1955 in Lima, Peru. My father used to research UFOs before I was born, so I was raised in an environment where the subject was common. In fact, my father used to teach my brothers and me when we were boys to think that it would be impossible that there would be life only on Earth. He said it would be very strange indeed if there were no life beyond this planet. My father, with some friends from the Air Force, created an institute for the study of UFOs. In 1973, he was invited to speak to a yoga group, and I went along with him. I was 17 years old then. While I was there, I met a group of people who were very much into spiritual subjects, although not in a religious way. I liked so much what they had to say that I spent some time with them practicing breathing, relaxation, concentration, and the meditation of Hatha Yoga, Mantra Yoga. The following year, 1974, a report in the most serious and conservative newspaper in Lima, El Diario del Comercio, said it had been discovered that outer space was not a place of deathly silence, as believed, and that noises coming from the universe were a cacophonous riot of sounds, some of which might be other civilizations trying to communicate with us across the universe. This interesting report made my father invite Dr. Victor Yáñez from the police hospital in Lima, who held a high degree in masonry and was a member of the Theosophic Society, to lecture on telepathy, or transmission of thoughts across long distances. The doctor said that if people of other worlds were trying to communicate with us, they might not just come in spaceships. They might try to communicate through our thoughts, or astrally, through our dreams. This idea seized my imagination with such force, and when I got home and told my mother and sister of what I had heard, we decided to try it out, to play a game where we would try to clear our minds and receive a message from beyond. We sat down at a table with paper and pen and agreed to write down any thoughts that seemed not to be our own, but coming from somewhere else. By doing so, we hoped to detect a possible message. We started to practice some meditation, and about 15 minutes later, I felt an irresistible urge to write something down, and an anxiety that forced my eyes open. I was not in any trance state whatsoever. I was fully conscious. I started writing very quickly. I felt like someone was speaking in my ear, saying, "Living room, good place to communicate. My name is Oxalk. I am from Marlem, one of Jupiter's moons. You call it Ganymede. We will communicate with you, and soon you will see us." I thought this wasn't real, of course. It had to be a product of my imagination. But then my mother and my sister told me that they had received the same message. But they chose not to write it down. I had written it down as I was mentally receiving it. This is called psychography, or automatic writing. Next day, with some friends, we repeated the experiment. This time, though, we asked for a signal. In the course of the experiment, we received instructions to go on February 7, 1974, to Chilca Desert, south of Lima. We arrived the day before to become acquainted with the environment. We didn't want to confuse a meteor, satellite, or airplane with the expected sighting. After darkness fell, suddenly there was a strange brightness. Behind the mountain, everything was lit as if it were daylight. All of us saw a glowing object moving along the mountain crest. When it stabilized on the right side of the horizon, the members of our group started asking each other, "Do you see it?" "Yeah, I see it too." "What is that light?" As it started to descend, it hovered at an altitude of some 80 meters. It projected a light as bright as the midday sun. It was shaped like a disc and had a dozen small windows. We all felt terror, panic. We'd never been so frightened. And yet we all grasped in our minds the message they were sending. They wouldn't come down at that moment because we couldn't control our emotions. Later there would be a time and place. That time came months later when they landed in the desert and we had the opportunity to see them physically. Anthropomorphic beings, humanoid, similar to us. In the beginning, their communication was all telepathic. Had it all ended there, these experiences wouldn't have much significance. But a Spanish journalist, Juan José Benítez, who today is known worldwide for his Trojan Horse series of books, back then a correspondent for the EFE News Agency, was sent to Peru to cover the story about a group of teenagers who claimed to have had contact with extraterrestrials. We went out to the Chilca Desert with him. And at the exact time, on the exact day announced in messages that we had received, this journalist was able to spot two UFOs in the sky. To us, they were DAVs, directed alien vehicles. The sighting demonstrated to his satisfaction that it is possible to establish contact with extraterrestrial beings. When he returned to Spain, Juan José Benítez wrote his first book, UFOs, SOS to Humanity. This book made our contact experience known around the world. As the years progressed, our communication with these beings became more and more fluent. We were allowed to receive the information that we are about to share with you, stories about the cosmic plan, extraterrestrial cosmogony, and the origins of humanity. It is the story of how the human being is the result of extraterrestrial genetic experiments, and how, through our biological history, there has been hybridism and crossbreeding, stellar shipwrecks, colonization, and even deportation of aliens to our world. Without considering the extraterrestrial link, human history doesn't make sense. In the early 70s, there began to appear in the south of England a series of mysterious patterns imprinted on field grains. These markings were referred to as agroglyphs, or crop circles. They always seemed to appear at harvest time and on grain fields. In the Middle Ages, the same phenomenon in harvest fields was recorded. The patterns appeared, and at the time they were considered to have been made by the devils, by the fairies. They were called fairy circles, and the people were warned that whoever walked inside them ran the risk of disappearing. When these patterns began to show up in the 70s, at first they were simple figures, circles, triangles, then rectangles. When they were just circles, it was first thought it might be a geomagnetic phenomenon, or the result of whirlwinds or small tornadoes. But when the figures started becoming more complex, more beautiful and larger, there was a compelling interest in investigating them. This interest increased even more when researchers realized that the spikes of grains were folded. They weren't broken. This was not the mark of a person stepping on them or a violent impact. A subtle force had folded the spikes. There was a strange sort of mutation in the crystals of the grains, suggesting that a magnetic force or some type of energy had made the figures. It appeared to be a message from the heavens to us here on Earth. In 1996, at Oliver's Castle, a video was made of some illuminated spheres that began to flutter over the harvest fields, and in fractions of seconds, they made an imprint, these same type of figures. On August 17, 2001, alongside the Shield Bolton radio telescope, there appeared a set of two figures, initially a gigantic three-dimensional face. At ground level, there was nothing visible that would make us believe that this was a face. These were just little piles of weed. But that face is not unknown. It is identical to the face of Cydonia on Mars, a face that was discovered on a mountain on the surface of that planet. And what is the other figure? A rectangular figure that turns out to be the answer to a message that was sent from Earth on November 16, 1974. Frank Drake, a friend of Carl Sagan, using the big radio telescope of Arecibo, Puerto Rico, had sent a radio signal to space to M13, the great nebula of Hercules, located 24,000 light years away. He hoped that at some time some intelligent civilization would receive it and would respond. Radio waves travel at the speed of light, almost 300,000 kilometers per second. That radio wave would take 24,000 years to get there, and if there had been an answer, it would have taken 48,000 years to receive the reply. Who would be here on Earth to receive the answer? Nevertheless, the answer didn't take 48,000 years. but only 27 years, and not through radio waves, but through imprints on fields of grain. From the figure, it can be seen clearly that these beings are familiar with the elements of communications that exist here on Earth. In this case, the universal language of numbers, of mathematics. They also knew our components of life. According to the genetic code, there are variations on the father's side. It is mutated or changed. This suggests they are sort of transgenic beings, or we are a variation to them. The average height of these beings, at least the ones that appear in this design, is 120 centimeters, small with a big head, like many similar beings that have been observed in different parts of our world. In terms of location in their solar system, counting from their sun, they would be occupying the third and fourth orbits and the moons of the fifth planet. But if we look very carefully, they have nine planets around their sun, a significant coincidence with our own solar system. Perhaps they are not answering from outside our solar system, but from inside, with bases on Mars, Earth, and the moons of Jupiter. Their means of communications is obviously not a radio telescope. That would be a very primitive form of communication for them. The form, in this case, is the same concentric and tangential circles that appear 1 year before year 2000 at the same place. This shows that in order to communicate with us, these beings have traveled through time and space, through cosmic folds, through interdimensional gates. They could do this because they master space and time. The fact that many of these figures appearing in fields in the south of England and in more than 25 countries are related to the latest discoveries of science indicate that there is a follow-up in supervision of Earth's projects on their part. There appears to be an interest in helping human beings to remember a great deal of information that is already part of our own genetic code. If we were sold on this planet, all we have to do is remember. Little by little, scientists have been discovering that there are multiple dimensions, that we are multidimensional beings. We live in a material universe of seven dimensions, and to act in this material universe, we have seven bodies. One of them is the dense physical body, then there is the astral body, which is the one of the emotions and desires, joined to the physical body through an energy umbilical cord known as the silver cord, which is broken when a person dies. The third vehicle is lower mind, which is the one of the character and personality. When a person dies, the physical body dies, the astral body dies, and the character and personality die along with them. The fourth vehicle is the superior mind, the entity with our psychic faculties, our extrasensory capacity. The fifth vehicle is the soul, the gathering place of our experience in past lives. The sixth vehicle is the spirit, which is our consciousness. The seventh vehicle is the essence. There are seven bodies to act in the seven dimensions of this material universe. Beyond the seventh dimension, like music in a superior octave, there is a universe parallel to this one. Not a material one, but a mental universe, and the beings that originate there are the ones we know as angels, archangels, thrones, principalities, cherubs, seraphim, powers, dominations. That mental universe corresponds to the 8th, 9th, and 10th dimensions. And beyond those, starting in the 11th dimension, there would be a third universe that is spiritual. The spiritual universe would have created the mental universe. The mental universe would have created the material universe. So God would not have created us directly, but through intermediate hierarchies, acting through a group of ultra-terrestrial beings. Beings from the mental universe, we know as Jela, the Shining Ones, the Sons of God. The first civilization to emerge from this last creation had a very auspicious development. In a short time, they advanced a great deal, and they passed very quickly from the first dimension to the second, from the second to the third, and from the third to the fourth dimension of consciousness. Which means that as these beings evolved, they were helping other civilizations to evolve. But for those at the head, there came a moment that they became stuck in their own evolution. All of a sudden, those who were in the fifth and sixth dimensions were not able to continue to advance and make evolutionary progress. Why? The first three vehicles, the physical body, the astral body, and the lower mind, constitute what we know as the material consciousness plane. They connect us, through the material plane, with a material universe of seven dimensions. The superior mind, the soul, and the spirit constitute the plane of mental consciousness and connect us, through mental consciousness, to the mental universe, and with the three dimensions of the mental universe, the 8th, 9th, and 10th dimensions, and the 7th vehicle, which we could also divide into three, will, wisdom, and love, connects us through the spiritual plane with the spiritual universe, which would be the 11th and up. Those civilizations that have reached the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th dimensions of consciousness not only have evolved on the material plane, but also at the level of mental consciousness. They have had a great mental development, but they have become stuck there. They haven't been able to contact the spiritual consciousness, because those who were their guides or teachers were beings of the mental universe. They fostered the evolution and development of the first civilization, this last great creation. So if the pattern and source of reference of the teachings had some limitations, these limitations become evident in the evolutionary development of civilizations. Their evolution process stopped. During the contact experience, the extraterrestrials related how a cosmic gathering had taken place, in which the ultra-terrestrial beings of the mental universe and the Jele, the creator parents, engaged in a dialogue in order to discuss what mistakes had been made during this last creation. Lucifer, or Luzbel, a very elevated entity of the mental universe, suggested that the mistake was that the evolutionary process was too easy for them, and perhaps not having created the necessary conditions to have an opposition force strong enough to demand maximum effort from these civilizations while they were developing. Lucifer suggested introducing dissociative entities from the mental universe into the material plane to act as demons, making the evolutionary process very difficult. This would re-establish the original rules. But Lucifer thought that they should work with those civilizations that had already been guided by them, and which they had acted directly upon. Those civilizations that were already in the 5th and 6th dimensions of consciousness, and were very close to reaching the 7th dimension, and were about to connect with the Creator Force. But the other ultra-terrestrials disagreed, saying it was like changing the rules of the game. Just as if we had a son in a military boarding school with rigid discipline. Just 1 year short of his graduation, we put him in a mixed school that is not a boarding school and has no rigid discipline. There is a high probability that he would fail. So these ultra-terrestrials said, you can't change the rules of the game for those already in the advanced stage. And this entity suggested working instead with new civilizations, civilizations that were just getting started. But there were also opinions that it wasn't fair either to vary the rules governing those civilizations. So the final decision was to work with civilizations that had never existed, with planets that had never developed. One of those chosen planets was the Earth. Why? Because according to the extraterrestrials, 1.2 billion years ago, a meteor shower extinguished life on planet Earth. Our world, being a dead planet, a planet with no future, would permit hosting this experiment, along with seven additional planets. A group of extraterrestrial civilizations received authorization from cosmic hierarchies of beings of other dimensions to travel a long time in space and arrive on Earth before the Earth died, and stop the planet from dying by creating for the Earth a paradoxical alternate time. Let's imagine for an instant that time in the universe is like an ascending spiral, and in one of the curves of the spiral, the Earth died, but the universe continued. So a group of civilizations that is able to travel through space and time, through cosmic folds and multidimensional gates, arrives on Earth and stops the Earth from dying. These emissaries took charge of transforming acid oceans into alkaline oceans. They sowed spores in our world. They accelerated the process of life, hoping that our planet, at a certain moment, could foster a civilization with a psychic and spiritual potential, able to reach levels of evolution that not even these visitors had achieved. It'll be a civilization able to reconnect with and establish a bridge of communication with the creator universe, with the spiritual universe. It'll be a civilization destined to surpass their own level of development. The prospect of this opportunity going to new civilizations did not make Lucifer happy. From the very first moment, he tried to boycott and sabotage the project and prevent it from going forward because it wasn't what he had suggested. We will discover then that the first civilization to be established on our planet was of extraterrestrial origin. Beings of the constellation of the Swans landed on our planet in a continent in the area corresponding to the present location of Antarctica. This first civilization was also called Antarctica. Later on, other beings arrived in what corresponds to the Mesozoic era, or secondary era, and they installed themselves in the upper part of northern Europe, in what became the Hyperborean civilization, the Upper North. These beings coexisted with an unstable and violent environment, dominated by dinosaurs. They performed genetic manipulation as part of their mission. But then, 65 million years ago, without them being able to stop it, a meteor shower took place. It was a terrible disaster. A cosmic catastrophe was caused by an asteroid of nearly 10 kilometers in diameter, which hit our planet, leaving a crater of 250 kilometers in diameter on the coast of Mérida in the Yucatan Gulf. The impact produced an expansive wave so violent that it wiped out a large proportion of the dinosaurs. Had not this happened, these creatures would have evolved into an intelligent form of life, and today they would be the ones to rule our planet with their intelligence. Our planet was so profoundly affected by the meteoric impact that we could almost say life was extinguished on our world. That's why the Earth was the first planet of the age selected for dismissal. 8 planets had been chosen. Kuiper Galaxy, from a group of galaxies that rotated around M31, the great nebula of Andromeda, located 2 million light years from us. So there were 2 planets from each of 4 galaxies in that group. After planet Earth was dismissed, they concentrated on the remaining 7 planets. But with time, 3 of those planets were totally destroyed. Not even dust remained. The original 8, the cosmic directors, ended up now with 4. A very worrying fact. Having the project fail on the other 4 planets, they decided to give a new opportunity to planet Earth. These beings who always travel through space and time, time for them not being the same as it is for us, came to our world and found out that 80,000 years ago, the Lemurian race, the black race originating from Earth, had evolved to such an extent that they had awakened all their potential, including their extrasensory perception. These human beings were capable of discovering that we were living in an alternate time, differing from the real time of the universe, and that that time could be crossed. Part of this development resulted from the consumption of...
Continues on another file.